So, part five of Nima Parvini versus Right Wing Ideas. And today I'm going to be talking about the free market. Now, this is probably the area that I've devoted more time to in previous videos. So if I repeat anything that I've said before, consider this like a kind of consolidation or greatest hits package, if you want, of critiques I have of the free market. It's probably worth mentioning that not all quote-unquote right-wingers still worship the free market. However, it is still the default mode of most on the right, I would suggest. It was recently Margaret Thatcher's 100th birthday. My timeline on Twitter was absolutely full from top to bottom of Margaret Thatcher worship. The default mode for reform voters, Rupert Lowe, basically anybody, even Donald Trump and MAGA and so on, is to be on the side of lower taxes, is to be on the side of pro-business, to be on the side of the markets in general, as against quote-unquote socialism or even worse, communism. Okay. Now, I happen to come from a libertarian background. I wrote a book in 2020 called The Defenders of Liberty. Still available. It's pretty expensive, unfortunately. I've tried what I can do to try to get the price reduced, but publisher will not reduce the price, will not allow Mises to publish it for free either. So, you know, unfortunately, if you want that book, it is expensive. But in there, I tried to save libertarianism from a realist perspective. I tried to make it as realist as possible. Unfortunately, the kind of crushing logic of reality is such that since I wrote that book 5, 6, 7 years ago, I've come to see not only that politics comes before economics, but also a lot of what you might call classical liberal or libertarian history is just flat out a lie. And I'll talk more about that after this ad, which is for promo code Shredder, which gets you 25% off all courses. When I come back, I'm going to explain why I no longer believe in the free market.
It's promo code Shredder. World-class education denied to you by school, denied to you by woke university. Well, no more. Pick up your course today. 25% off all courses with promo code Shredder. That's Shredder. Buy it now.
So, as I mentioned, the fundamental problem with the free market, classical liberalism, libertarianism, is that it's just built on a lie, okay? And not just a lie, but a laughable, empirically untrue lie, okay? The British Empire, and I've got all these books up here are about the British Empire. Now, I have to admit, I haven't read all of them. They look cool on the shelf. But I've read a good deal about the British Empire. Not all of these books, but a good number of them have I read, as well as specialist books in the economic literature as well, economic histories of Britain. And the idea that the British Empire was laissez-faire, was, you know, promoted free markets, is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, okay? For one, it coerced many of its trades. It used gunboat diplomacy. It locked in monopoly contracts. And then what they call comparative advantage, or Ricardo's law of comparative cost, or as Mises calls it, the law of association. They, you know, that whole thing of, well, you give, why, like, you get wine from France, and in exchange you give wool. Therefore, we're going to specialise in wool, you specialise in wine. All of the wine manufacturers in Britain will go bust, all of the wool manufacturers in France will go bust, and reallocate to more productive ends as Britain becomes a wool powerhouse and wine and France becomes a wine powerhouse, as an example, right? This was a justification for imperial rule. Not for actual, you know, what they call free trade between nations. It was used to justify hyper-specialized economies in colonies of the British Empire, which then forced them to trade, you know, so let's pretend, I mean, I used the example before of chocolate in Ghana, right? Chocolate in Ghana. You basically force Ghana into a situation where they turn all their farms into cocoa beans, cocoa plants or whatever. Okay, all of your farmers now are devoted to chocolate. They then transport cocoa beans to factories in Birmingham or Bristol or wherever else, to Mr. Cadbury or Mr. Bourneville, who then turn those coffee beans into chocolate bars, sell them around the world. That was the basic model. But also, Ghana now has an imbalanced economy because it's specialized under the division of labor, because it is maximizing its competitive advantage, right? Its comparative cost. Ghana now is forced into a situation where it is now food dependent, it has to depend on Britain for food imports and for other trade goods that it needs that it's no longer producing because it's put all its eggs in the chocolate basket. And this is what the British Empire did pretty much around the world. And on top of that, to add insult to injury, it forced the whatever, sometimes it was former colonies. In other cases, they weren't even colonies. They were just, you know, they were sovereign nations, but they were forced into monopoly contracts whereby you're locked in to something like this, okay? So, viewed through that lens, what was called the free market was actually an imperial control grid. That's what it was. Later, the USA, when it became the hegemon, copied many of these strategies. Examples, I mean, everybody knows about the Opium Wars, where Britain literally used gunboats to force China, or to force the Chinese markets open to the sale of literal drugs. That's the most kind of cartoonish example. But I'm talking about pretty much all the trade that the British Empire did. You know, they called it free trade. Okay, we're going to set up a tea plantation in India. And the trade is, we buy tea leaves from you. You ship them all the way over to Manchester or Newcastle or somewhere. We'll turn them into tea bags, into PG tips, and then we'll sell them back to you. And on top of that, there's a 100% tariff on tea bags coming into the UK. So if you Indians decide you want to manufacture tea bags yourself, right? If some rogue Indian tries to set up a tea bag factory in India and sell it into London, he's going to be faced with 100% tariff. And they did that on loads and loads of goods. Loads of goods. Pretty much all the manufactured goods had 100% trade barrier up against them. So it was only free trade to an extent, right? The free market, of course, ignores elite capture. In reality, markets are rigged by organized minorities through regulations, as Pareto discusses, as an example. Pareto, not only an elite theorist, but an economist, of course. And the the free market, which was coercive, the coerced market, you could call it, of the British Empire, basically they made a lot of money, but, you know, through that. But let's not pretend that the great... So let's come back to the point. The lie that libertarianism and classical liberalism tell is that the greatness of this country, the wealth of this country, or the wealth of America, was built on the free market. It was built on uncoerced trade. That is just not true. It's just, there's no part of it that's true. Or it's only true in like a very dishonest technical sense if you consider these coerced trades as being quote unquote free. Okay, what else have I got here when it comes to this? I don't want to get into, I obviously there's lots and lots and lots of anti-British Empire material. I don't want to get into stuff like the famines and so on, because too much is made of that, in my opinion. What I want to focus on is the substantive lie, which is that what was actually happening here was just people trading freely. Okay, as I go and buy an apple from a shop, so too, you know, this is what was happening on an international level. Countries that didn't play ball had a habit, you know, if it wasn't a direct war, maybe it'd be a coup, maybe it'd be a colour revolution. You know, maybe there'd be political instability. I mean, they did this in country after country after country. They called it free trade. I mean, it's just kind of the bare-faced cheek of it. And now you've got, like, and then you had, when they were trying to sell the American version of this, people like Milton Friedman and all of the other libertarians trying to then say, oh, well, look, well, you know, look how well Britain did out of it. Just a lie. It's just a lie. So, yeah, I mean, we don't even need to get into some of the other critiques I've had of the free market over the years. Like, one example I remember is how procurement managers within supermarkets, within any firm, basically become the ultimate decision maker rather than the consumer. It's not a case of consumers voting product in and out of existence. It is procurement managers putting products in front of consumers, and increasingly they're the ones who make the choice. It doesn't always work. Like, do you remember the massive push for plant-based burgers? That was almost entirely done top-down. That was one example where they kind of gave up because they were literally just sitting on the shelf. So... But the fact is, all of the bits of the machine work to try to put that in product in front of you. And in many cases, the product never even reaches you because the decision's already been made by some middle management procurement person. Another thing I've talked about before is the severance of ownership and control that you get with organizations like BlackRock, whereby, in a weird way, the ownership is socialized between all the millions of people who hold pensions and things, but the control is concentrated. The political power is concentrated, but the ownership is diffuse. I've got an old video called What Marx Got Right, which talks about this, much older video. I've also talked about how mergers and acquisitions, the decline of antitrust, proper antitrust, being executed by the federal government, by European Union, etc. You know, people look back to the 1950s, Pat Buchanan's childhood, say, well, why do things look so great in the 1950s? But then they don't look at the fact that there were huge, robust protections in place for the mom and pop store. that the post-war moment in both Britain and America was an artificial creation of Keynesian economics and economic protectionism, with robust antitrust laws and trust busting, which protected the little guy against the big corporation. And over the decades, those protections have gone away. And then what you get is the gobbling up. The big Leviathan, massive corporation, gobbling up all your favourite little companies. To the point where you can run an exercise. And I tell you what actually alerted me to this. I was over some debacle involving the company Johnson & Johnson. Oh, no, Gillette. It was Gillette. It was the Gillette toxic masculinity advert. Do you remember that? And I said, from this moment on, I'm going to boycott the mother company of Gillette, which is Procter & Gamble, P&G. And my daughter, AAA, was a baby at that time. So it was about 5 years ago. And what this alerted me to was just how many products are made by Procter & Gamble. It was almost impossible to boycott Procter & Gamble, especially if you had a young child. Because they didn't just make like the number one nappy, right? They made the number two brand as well. And if you go into any shop and have a look at all your favourite chocolate bars, your Fry's Turkish Delight and your Cadbury's Dairy Milk and your Mars bar and so on, you look on the back of who actually makes these, they're all owned by the same like one or two companies. And what I found is across almost every single product, you get the Coca-Cola, the big market leader, about 70% share. You get the Pepsi, about 30% share, and then you get a ton of like smaller players, which is typically supermarket's own brand. So you're really getting choice. You're getting the illusion of choice in many cases. It's not really that much different from getting your, you know, Soviet-issued chocolate bar. What's the difference, really? It's just like two companies. Three companies at most. The actual variety of things has reduced over time because there aren't protections in place against, you know, quote-unquote free market. So, yeah, all of these things really are reasons not to be up for capitalism in current year. I mean, there are so many other things I could say. This is a huge area. But I think I'll leave it there. I think I'll leave it with just a couple of the little lies that are told about the British Empire and the parallels that you could make between those tactics and the tactics you see from the American Empire. It's just a kind of smokescreen for the interests of the current ruling class, which is a conclusion that Marxists came to a long time ago. They just happened to be right on that particular front. So, yeah, let me know if you've got any kind of objections to this. My point is that the free market's never even been seen. It's never even been seen. And so the arguments that show it working in practice are all bad faith. They're all just lies. It's just a lie. And so what I would love to see from a libertarian is to come back and to show how what I said about the function of actual laissez-faire in the 19th century was different. It just so happens that whenever things don't really go the way that laissez-faire wants, well, the gunboats come in. You know, it just so happens that anybody who doesn't play ball with America, the gunboats come out. And then after the US puts sanctions on Venezuela and tells all the other countries around the world, if you trade with Cuba or Venezuela, if you engage in free trade with them, we'll put sanctions on you. There'll be costs and punishments if you deal with these rogue states. And then, of course, once they're starved of cash, once they're starved of foreign direct investment, once they're starved of trade, and they inevitably go tits up, all of the libertarians then say, ha ha, look, that means socialism didn't work. Look at the socialists, they're eating out of bins. But why? Why did that happen? It happened because they were literally crippled by America. So, what I'm saying is the same bad faith that you get from the libertarians arguing about the British Empire also apply to current dynamics in the American Empire. So, that is why I'm not up for the free market, friends. Pick up a course at the academic agency, promo code Shredder, and I'll be so interested to see what the comments are on each of these videos. I'm trying to do them all without seeing. Unfortunately, I've seen the comments on the first video, but this is an interesting exercise, to say the least. All right, join me again tomorrow, where I'll be doing more Nima Parvini versus right-wing ideas. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.